David was a man after God's own heart, and he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does a study of the life of David and teach practical biblical lessons. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Word of God.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to the study of the life of David. As we continue on this journey, we are on chapter 7 and lesson number 2 today, David's mistakes and fall into sin. Last week we looked at lesson 1, David's victories and show of mercy. We looked there at the number of victories that God gave David as he was king over Israel, that he overcame the Philistines, he overcame the Ammonites, overcame the Syrians. God was giving him victory, for David was a man who sought the Lord and guidance from God, and God would guide him and give him victory. But also we saw an interlude of a chapter where David shows kindness unto Mephibosheth, that even in the midst of all these victories, David remembered the grace and mercy of God upon his life, and how Jonathan had shown him kindness as a friend, even in a time where he was not very much someone who was prominent, but just a nobody, a shepherd boy that had come to the palace. And Jonathan was a prince who covenants with him in a covenant that binds them together. So David remembers this and says, is there not anyone still left in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for the sake of Jonathan? And Mephibosheth was found, and David lifts him from Lodibar, even though he was crippled, and brings him to sit at his table and to eat bread from his table all the days of his life. And he restores unto him the land of his grandfather Saul and the servants that used to work for him. So restoration finds Mephibosheth because of a covenant. And we saw that there, a type of Christ, a covenant that we have been blessed through, that Christ is a covenant with the Father. And for the sake of that covenant, we have obtained grace and we found favor before God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So today we are moving on. Get your Bible, get your notebook. Let's get ready to learn from the scriptures. And we are looking at 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'll do an overview of this chapter in 3 sections. Then in the end, I'm going to look at 5 lessons that we draw from this chapter. And I believe that it will be a blessing to you. You'll be blessed and you'll be empowered by the word of the living God. Now, from verse 1 to verse 5, David encounters Bathsheba. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Amnon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried till in Jerusalem. Now, you see, the Bible says here, in a time of war, David sent his commander in the armies of Israel into battle. Most of the times, David would go into battle with his army and lead from the front. But at this time, David remains behind while it was a time for kings to be in battle. Now, that was one of his first mistakes, not being where he ought to be, not being in the place of leadership and leading in battle, but he decides to tarry in Jerusalem. While he's in Jerusalem, one of the nights, in the middle of the night, maybe he couldn't sleep, he wakes up in the middle of the night and goes on top of the roof for whatever reason. It's not in the middle of the night as per se, but it's in the evening. And while he's on the top of the roof, he sees Bathsheba. At that very moment, she's bathing, and he could see her, because I think then she was bathing. That where she was bathing, there was an open roof. There was no roof there, so he could see from the top. And that then caused the disaster, because he was then tempted, and he desired her. And verse 3 then says, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is it not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And verse number 4, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. So David inquires, who is this woman that he saw? And he's told that she is another man's wife. But still David had a strong ungodly desire, that he desired even another man's wife. And he then commands that she be brought to the palace, and he lays with her, therefore commits adultery, and then sends her back. But what then happens is that in that encounter, she becomes pregnant with a baby. So that then stirs up more problem, that which he thought would be done just in secret, ended up causing the conception of a child out of that sinful encounter. Now, from verse 6 to 13, David attempts to cover up his sin. So when David sees that this woman has become pregnant, the husband is away in battle, this is going to cause a lot of talk. How did she become pregnant while her husband is not at home? So he conceives a plan to send a message to Joab, the army commander, that Uriah should come home and visit his family. Verse 8 says, and David said to Uriah, go down to thine house. So this is after Uriah had come to see David after he had been called. And David asked him as if he was concerned about the progress of the battle and how the battle is going. And Uriah gives an update. After he is done, he then says to him, he should go back to his house. In verse 8, David said to Uriah, go down to thine house, wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and they followed him a mess of meat from the king. So he gave him food, but Uriah did not go home. Verse 9 says, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. So here is a man that is disciplined, who is saying, this is a time of war. I cannot go to my house and be busy enjoying there with my wife and with my family, yet I am supposed to be at war. So David inquires the next day and says, but Uriah, why did you not go to your wife and to your family? Verse 11, Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house, eat and drink, and lie with my wife? As thou livest, thou as thy soul liveth, I will do no such thing. Oh, hallelujah. What a soldier, what a man. He says, I can't be enjoying here while the ark is intense, while the armies of the Lord are intense and intense, camped in battle. Should I go now and enjoy and eat and drink and lay with my wife? He refuses. Look at his mindset, his commitment. He's committed unto the cause of Israel. He's saying, it is not time for pleasure. It is time for sacrifice and for war. This is a shock unto David, because his plan then has failed, because he wanted Uriah to lay with his wife. And then when the pregnancy appears, then it could be said it's Uriah's baby, but this is not working. Then David has to conceive another plan. He gets Uriah drunk at the palace and then sends him away. But still Uriah does not go home. He sleeps in the servants' quarters to make sure that he is not enjoying himself while he's supposed to be at war. Now from verse 14 to 27, David then plots to have Uriah killed. So David sees that his cover-up plan is not working. He's tried to cover up his sin and tried to blame it on Uriah, but Uriah is not having any of it. So he comes up with another plan now. He writes a letter to Joab and sends it with Uriah. And he tells Joab to expose Uriah to a place where the battle is very heated. And when it begins to heat up, he should then tell the men to abandon and leave Uriah, and then Uriah will be killed. So Uriah is sent with a letter that is carrying a message that is leading to his death. But look at the loyalty of this man. He's not even the slightest idea. He's just obeying his king. He carries a letter. He does not even open to look and see what is inside or to try and consider and say, what has the king written? He takes it faithfully to Joab, not knowing that it was a letter that was carrying a death message for him. Verse 15 says here, and he wrote a letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the waters battle and retire from him, and he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city, and he assigned Uriah unto the place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. So the moment that this then happens, Joab, you see him here, he takes this command and he does not question. But you know, Joab is a tricky fellow. He's a man that we've seen in the past that has gone against David and killed people that David did not want to die. So in this case, he eagerly executes this instruction. And after it is done, he sends a message to say to David through a messenger, but it's a coded message. It's sent in secret. So he just tells him, go and tell David we have fought valiantly, but a number of our men we have lost, including Uzziah the Hittite. He has also died. And David receives the message and says, men do die in war, but he knew that it was his master plan. Now, in trying to cover up his sin, he ends up committing a more grievous sin where he ends up taking the life of Uriah because of the sin of adultery, because of the sin of lust. It ends up this way. Now, in verse 26, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, is dead, was dead, she mourned for her husband. In verse 27, when the mourning was past, David went and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So when you look at this, God was not happy with what had happened here. He is not pleased with the actions of David. And so David is a king, and he has abused his authority of being a king, and then sleeping with someone's wife, trying to cover up, and ending up killing that wife in order, no, to killing the husband in order to get the wife, who he takes in the end and makes Bathsheba his wife and calls him to the palace. But it concludes there by saying, but God was not happy with this. It did not please the Lord what he had done. Now, there are five lessons that we draw from this chapter that we want to look at. And these lessons are going to empower us and help us. Lesson number one, avoid being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And that was the first mistake of David, that he was at the wrong place in a time of war. When kings were supposed to be in battle, he was busy lazing around in the palace. And that is what led to this downfall or falling into sin, because he ended up being idle, not having anything to do, and ended up seeing things that he was not supposed to see. That is why, as a leader, as a believer, don't be in the wrong places. Avoid appearance of evil. Continue in the race and in the journey of faith, be engaged in pursuing your divine purpose. Don't spend time idling around doing nothing, because the devil will give you something to do if you have nothing to do for God. So David has nothing to do, and the devil presented to him a wife of someone else who was bathing, and that stirred up trouble. Many times when you are idle and have nothing to do, you are not busy in the kingdom of God, you end up finding other things that will take your attention, and that can lead you astray. So avoid such scenarios in the name of Jesus. Number two, learn to resist evil desires. Now, when David saw Bathsheba, he lusted over her. That was an evil desire. The Bible teaches us in the Ten Commandments that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And this Uriah was a neighbor to David, and his wife was staying there in the neighborhood, and David coveted, that means an evil desire, lusted for that which he was not supposed to lust for, another man's wife, and that's where the trouble began. May you resist evil desires. May you resist evil edges that will lead to your downfall. And this evil desire that David did not resist when he asked, who is this woman? And he was told, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. The moment he had heard the wife of Uriah, he was supposed to say, no, this is a no-go area. It is someone's wife. I will not commit adultery. But he desired it even further because of what he had seen. And what he had seen caused the lust to be stirred up in him. That's why it's very important that you be careful what you see with your eyes, because you can stir up certain passions that will destroy you. So David did not resist this evil desire, and that was the beginning of trouble in his life. Lesson number three, confess your sin instead of trying to cover it. David did not confess his sin to God. He had not been caught. Whatever had happened, he thought he could get away with it. So he tries to devise a plan to cover it up by having Uriah come and sleep with his wife. But that does not work. He ends up committing a more grievous crime and sin of murder because he wanted to cover up his first sin of adultery. Now, sin that is not confessed and brought before God births more sin and a sinful life. That's why it's important that we come before God and confess. The Bible says when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Not when we cover our sins, but when we confess them, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. So that's very important. We should confess our sin that God may cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lesson number four, do not deceive your followers. David deceived Uriah. Here is a servant that is serving him in battle, and he sends him with a letter that is carrying a message of his own death. He deceives Uriah, and he causes him to die in battle, not because he was supposed to die, because he was exposed to a plan that was to assassinate him in battle. So as a leader, don't use and deceive your followers. It will catch up with you. You sow the wrong seed. And this seed that David sows here was a wrong seed. And this seed was going to follow after him. You see in the chapters that we are going to look at hereafter, that this seed of deception and adultery, then also of murder, follows him. The sword then follows his family. A lot of evil things are going to arise in his family because of this seed that he has sown of deception, a seed of murder that is going to bring forth fruit that is very cursed into his family. That's why you must avoid sowing such seed of deception and such seed that can cause trouble for generations that come after you. The last lesson is, it's important to lead by example. David did not lead by example. He did not lead by example by going to war. He did not lead by example by giving Joab an instruction to kill one of the soldiers for no apparent reason. He does this, and this was a bad example that you are setting. When you are a leader, it is very important that you set a good example, that you set an example that shows that you are leading well and you are leading in a righteous way and you are leading in a way that is of God, not a way that is evil. So as a leader, as a believer, lead by a good example. Not this way that David did. And you see, these are the mistakes that David did, and they led to his fall into sin. Now, last week we were looking at his victories, but the Bible also shows us his weaknesses, because we learn both from his victories and we learn also from his weaknesses, so that we may avoid the same that we may also avoid these evil desires and we may not make the same mistakes, but we may be able to prevail and set a good example going forward as believers and as leaders in the mighty name of Jesus. May God give you the grace to overcome the temptations, to overcome evil desires. May God give you the grace to confess where you have messed up and not to try and cover up. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Our lesson ends here today. We continue next week as we look at lesson 3 of chapter number 7. And what a blessing it is going to be as we look now at David's correction and restoration. Don't miss that one.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.